Hey guys, and welcome to the New Paradigm Intimacy Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about mental health and sexuality and how this path of sexuality development and the crossovers between sexuality and spirituality and mental health can actually build up a mental resilience. And you know, Chandra Reshu is on the show today. He's actually sharing with us some of his experiences personally. He's had a very wide background in many different life paths, and he shares with us how he's seen this impact people's lives. So yeah, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I did. Thank you. Hey guys, welcome to the New Paradigm Intimacy Podcast. Today I'm here with Chandresh Bhadwaj, and he is a spiritual teacher. He's been helping his clients with life purpose, spirituality, sexuality, where all these pieces come together. And today I want to have a little chat to him around how we move through like any mental patterns and places that we feel stuck, and mental health in general, to create more of a connection to ourselves, to our spirituality, to our sexuality. So I'd love you to introduce yourself, Chandresh, and share with us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, Victoria. My pleasure to be here. So glad we are having this conversation. I feel, so I'll give your audience a bit of my background and context. I was born in a family of spiritual teachers in India. My father is my spiritual guru. My father's guru was his father, and so on. And whenever I share this with people, everyone thinks I was born with all seven chakras perfectly aligned. And, I was chanting mantras from day one. Didn't happen at all that way. In fact, interesting thing is my teacher, my father, he never even told me you should be meditating, because we come from this lineage, this, family of gurus. So you should be sitting and meditating. He never told me this. And I asked him, why you never pushed me into meditating every day in a certain way? He said, because it's something you should be having a natural love for. If I was forcing you to sit every day, you could have learned the technique, but not the love of it. It's something that has to arise out of love. And I'm so thankful that's how it happened with me. It was the love of that mystic energy that I was really attracted toward. And growing up in India, in a very small town of the Himalaya mountains, I was surrounded with Tantra temples, the goddess temples, and I was very fascinated by the whole concept of divine feminine and the love for, my curiosity and love for that divine feminine that really sparked, the meditation in me. And I'm very happy to say that I am not at all a big fan of the technique of meditation, but the love of your path. And it's something I also felt in the work you are doing, Victoria. When I was on your Instagram page, on your website, I clearly saw that you are in it for the love of it. And everything else is just, extended branches of what you do. And I'm in a very similar space. For me, the love, the devotion toward the whole process, that's really important. The techniques, some people may master the techniques, some may not, but that should not qualify or disqualify them from what they are really receiving. So my work has always all about being understanding the suppression in what's holding people back. I'm sure you come across that a lot, because your work is even more intimate than what I do, right? Suppression is something that people get from their family, ancestors, the culture they grew up in, family, religion, school. I mean, so many factors contribute to it. So whenever I start working with someone, my first goal is to understand from where that suppression is coming from. What are the blockages that are holding them back? Because if they're holding back the anger, then they're also holding back the love, the passion. You cannot be, you cannot expect yourself to be full of passion and love if you're holding back the anger, if you're holding back the other elements. So understanding of the darkness and the light in you, I feel that's a major way of putting your complete energy out. Does it make sense?
Fully, yeah. I love what you're sharing. And, this is a big part of my work also, this whole, the releasing of everything that's in the way of your connection to self, to your relationship to the world in that way. Some people might say relationship to God in that way as well. And it feels like mm-hmm. creating that space as well. And this For me, this is where like the, you know, moving through pieces like mental health with sexuality development and this work of like journeying with your sexuality really comes together. It's like the ability that we have to actually be in our relationship with our body and allowing our body to be in relationship with life, you know. And I feel, you know, life, I very like, you know, open to that word life, universe, God, source, whatever else we might want to use in replacement of it. And I just wonder, you know, what kind of things that you've worked with your clients and helping them move through their relationship or from their mind and being stuck in the habitual habits and the patterns and the conditioning we take on around sex and how we need to be in the world into coming into their body to relate to the experience of God or source or whatever else we want to call that.
Right. So, you know, I wish there was one standard, you know, answer or template to your question. Each student, each client comes with their own, you know, journey, their own karmic contracts, their own blockages. So I always feel they end up teaching me a lot about my own methods, because when I started doing this 12 years ago, I thought maybe one formula will work on at least half of clients, at least half, you know, if not all. But that didn't happen. In fact, there were multiple formulas on just one student. And each time a student shows up or signs up for the program, it really becomes all about understanding their story, understanding their journey beyond the labels. That's a very important one for me. I want to understand who are they, like who is Victoria beyond Victoria, you know, who is Victoria beyond the labels, the definitions, the body, the mind, the thoughts, the feelings, like who is she without all the labels? Who is she without all the stories that define her? And for me, understanding of the labels and how they're defining you is very important. And secondly, it's very important for me to know what is their center of consciousness? What is the center of their awareness, which is a big one in my Tantra lineage. Center of awareness is where maximum energy of yours is, you know, collected. So for people who have maximum energy around the heart center, you know, they tend to be very emotional. They think from the heart. They function from the heart. The good side is they're in very much tune with their heart center, means they're very compassionate, emotional. But the downside is their heart breaks every week, you know, because it's a very, you know, it's highly sensitive. And my work of study revolves around where is the unconscious, you know, energy building up and how to take it to the root center, you know, the navel center. And then from navel center, really giving it the conscious higher outlet. Because sexual energy, if you do not regulate it, it just falls downward, right? And it becomes always biological. But if you could channel it consciously, it can go upward. And that's when the magic could start to happen. It's really all about being fully aware and conscious of how you are channeling your energy. But does it make sense, Victoria?
Yeah, fully. I love that explanation. It feels very resonant with the way that I work in my understanding of sexuality as well. It's like, And I feel that there's such a driving force. You know, my understanding is that we have our like our life force energy, which is like this almost like a heartbeat, like a pulse that's always there. And then these conditionings and these ideas of, you know, perhaps what it means to be a mother or how we need to be an employee or be someone's boss or, you know, all these layers of identity and things that we think are who we are actually kind of stop up the pulse of our life force that just wants to be in the world. And I think life force emerges our eros, our sexual energy, our understandings of creativity, all these pieces. It's like the juice of our life, you know. And think that then, like you said, if that's not channeled, then it just goes into biology, you know. And the ability to channel that that erotic energy into creativity or into higher consciousness or into just clarity for your mind is a huge part, I feel, of where you know, mental health meets sexuality meets spirituality and tantra and all these pieces. It's like they kind of seem to weave together in the ability to move consciousness and to move such a potent energy. You know, it is very overwhelming for a lot of people on the planet right now to be with their sexual energy. And I think there's a beauty in you know, really utilizing all these different ways to journey with that. And I know that a lot of people will actually come to me and feel that, you know, that they're not really a fan of maybe God or anything, but there's also like this kind of pull into spirituality. And I think this is, I personally don't think there is sex without mysticism. It's such a...
I agree, yeah.
And so I just wonder what your thoughts were on that. Like, you know, is it possible to have a relationship with moving this life force through your body without that part of mysticism, that part of spirituality?
You know, this is such a beautiful question, and I resonate with it because if you read my poetry, I write quite a bunch of, you know, poetry, and I share it on my social media. It's not planned, but I end up connecting spirituality with the sensuality very often, because I feel if I'm in touch with my sexual energy, it will translate to spirituality at some point. And if I'm in touch with my spiritual force, it will translate to my love and passion at some point. There, for me, these two have never been separate. Also, I, you know, come from land of Kama Sutra, the ultimate sex scripture from the Eastern traditions. And if you read Kama Sutra and really meditate on it, it doesn't glorify sex. It's actually teaching you how to indulge in pleasure with absolute awareness, and then how to go beyond that pleasure so that you can experience pleasure beyond the physical intercourse as well. It's very fascinating. And I feel what you're doing, and even, you know, my work, I think we have this enormous potential to help people, you know, taste that perfect pleasure beyond just the physical, you know, sexual experience. But for that to happen, they need to go through the paces. They need to go through their own feelings first. You cannot expect someone to have that perfect cosmic experience if they're bypassing the human experience. And the human experience does involve the sexual experience, the experience of anger, emotions, happiness, sadness. Once you fully experience who you are as a human, then you open the door for what's, you know, the non-physical dimension. That's pretty much what fascinates me so much about the whole sexual energy and spiritual energy, you know, combination, that they both are helping each other in a way. If you are indulging into spirituality, it will help you to cultivate that perfect conscious sexual energy as well, and vice versa. If you are in touch with that conscious sexual energy, it will open up the door of spiritual energy. At least that's how I, you know, see. I don't, what's your take on it?
Well, I completely agree. And I'm actually curious to, I'm curious to hear what your father and your grandfather have beliefs about this piece of like, sexuality and spirituality in your lineage as well. Because I know that, you know, like you said, you do come from the land of Kama Sutra, but there's also an understanding when we people work with spirituality, it's almost like we want to transcend the body. We want to transcend sex and be just in consciousness. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts around and that part of spirituality?
You know, in the Indian spirituality, there are so many, you know, different sectors, different departments in a way. If you want to sign up for a spiritual path where you renounce everything and just aim for that higher consciousness, nothing but that higher consciousness, there are, you know, spiritual schools. There is a sect of the monks and the gurus who would initiate you into that. But that would mean staying away from all attachments, staying away from all pleasures, not just the physical pleasure, but even, you know, other things, food, clothing, good house, you know, like nice car, all the material temptations, basically. The lineage I come from, you know, the Tantra lineage I come from, that Tantra lineage is the lineage of Shiva and Shakti, you know, the masculine and the feminine. Shiva is the known as the teacher of Tantra, the first teacher of Tantra. Shakti is his partner. So Shiva and Shakti together, they form that perfect union of masculine and feminine. So this lineage of Tantra does not believe in renouncing or bypassing the sexual pleasure, but it believes in indulging you in that pleasure with awareness and then helping you to experience that cosmic energy through that, which means you could be married, you could have sexual partner, lover, you could have kids, complete family. But if you get stuck there, that's a challenge. If you don't get stuck there, but understand the roles you are playing, the role of a lover, the role of a father, mother, and then keep evolving from the roles. That's what, you know, where the magic happens. Because I'm sure even you come across that with your clients, when a woman or a man gets stuck in their role, it could be the most beautiful role they are playing, the role of, you know, a husband, wife, father, mother. But if they get stuck in that role, it limits their creative expression. And then the regret happens, you know, years from that day when they realize, oh, I didn't do much with my, you know, with my life because I was just so over busy playing this role for the last 7 years. And this is one thing I've, you know, observed with many men and women, especially women, that after they become mother, they stop being creative. You know, being mother is a altogether creative process. And I feel so much of their creativity is involved in that process that after that, they just don't become creative until they wake themselves up and they realize now this is the role of a mother and I'm free. I have the permission to step into the other role of still being the creative woman I've always been. And I think that's where the powerful divine feminine, you know, starts to wake up.
Yeah, I love that. Are you ready for a career that lights you up, helps you serve humanity, and assists in a global shift around sex, love, and relating? Did you know that sexuality development is one of the fastest growing industries right now? The Institute of New Paradigm Intimacy is a course in cutting-edge sexual wellness education, business, and leadership. Utilizing the self-pleasure modality created by Victoria Redbard to have clients access freedom and connection in all areas of life. If you're feeling the pull to explore more, head to victoriaredbard.com/podcast. You know, something I speak about a lot as well is like this, like a lot of people that come to me with relationship issues, my experience is that they don't actually have relationship issues. They have an agility issue. It's like that to be able to move through the identities, you know? So when, you know, someone becomes a mother, it's like that, you know, there's so much conditioning and ideas of what it means to be a mother. It's like the ideas that we have around what you have to be a mother. Really, we're all doing it very differently and every person will do it a different way. In the same way as we do leadership differently, in the same way as we do, you know, life differently or diet differently. It's just like a different way for everyone. I feel like that's really important to remember. And that agility to come back to, it's almost like, I think there's a part in motherhood where we hand over our life to something greater than us, you know, and that is this new child that's coming into the world. And it's like that moment of like recognizing that's the moment to do this and this is the moment to come back to self. And then, and also inside of the relationship between the parents, it's like, you know, I have to give over my life and my vagina and my breast to this child. And it's like, now, okay, can I come back and bring them back to myself so that I can choose to be sharing them with my partner again? Or, you know, it's like, there's so much of, you know, it's just like so much transitioning that we're not almost like, there's no sort of way of like path to move through that. And I think that that's a big piece that I've seen in the way people do relationships and the way people do, connection to themselves during these processes. And I think when we get that agility to be able to move through all the layers, and even what where we started that conversation was like around, you know, spirituality and desire and you know, do you desire to give up, renounce your sexuality to be in that communion with God or the enlightenment, or do you desire this? And for me, I think that when we speak of that desire, when I speak of desire, I'm actually talking about some sort of like a current almost. You know, you even pointed it out with me. You said like the work that I do is like, I'm, you know, you can see that it goes beyond just doing a job, you know, and it's like I never really decided that I was going to do this work. It's like the desire just started to move through me. It's like, it wasn't in my conscious mind. Like I need to become a sexuality leader. You know, that wasn't a reality for me. Just started the current of life started to move through me. And I think that it's, there's a potency to that. And I'm curious of like, how you relate to desire in that way.
How do I relate to desire?
I guess is my question.
Yeah, I love that because I feel I've constantly been reflecting on the whole cycle of desires, you know, because I've seen in each different phase of life, my relationship with desire has also shifted, which is a beautiful thing. But when I became aware of it, that was a breakthrough moment. You know, in my mind, I always thought, or at least the narrative around me was, if you become spiritual, you cannot have desires. I have always been into meditation, always been into tantra work. I remember in high school, you know, we would go on a school trip and, you know, I would just meditate for an hour or so. And if next day I would, you know, say, oh, I want that food or I want, you know, so-and-so anything, my friends will say, oh, you were meditating yesterday and look at you, you want that ice cream or you're talking about that girl. How, you know, this is so wrong. And in my head, I was like, maybe they're right, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong because I'm not supposed to have desires. Thankfully, I was in high school then and my realities kept on shifting because I feel this is what the popular narrative of desires and spirituality is. And in fact, when I stepped full time into this role of a spiritual advisor, there were many people, you know, in my friend circle, because my friend circle is a very, you know, finance Wall Street friend circle, because, you know, I went to business school in New York. So all those people, they thought I'm becoming some kind of monk, you know, I'm not supposed to have any desires. So, you know, any talks that I've done in the corporate sector, these are the talks all about embracing your desires, because in Tantra, we don't say desires are bad. We always say there's like impulsive desire and conscious desire. So conscious desire is something that arises out of your consciousness. You know, like your and my desire to be here and exchange this energy right now, that's a conscious desire. And my hope is it helps, you know, some people who listen to this energy exchange. Impulsive desire arises out of impulsiveness, you know, anxiety, stress, comparisons, calculations. So if I make a video today on Instagram, simply because everyone is talking about that one topic and I have to jump into it, I have to make it, I don't want to miss out on this trend, that's impulsive desire. And I might stress myself out that I need to have, you know, these many followers and make this video and again, make a certain kind of post only because that's the trend. That's impulsive desire. And I think it almost insults your, you know, intuition. It insults your existence because you're not honoring your voice, but you're simply, you know, following the lead of impulsiveness, which doesn't, you know, help in any way. So my entire work for myself and for my students has been to replace their impulsive desires with the conscious desires, which means they really have to have a relationship with their awareness. And then making the conscious choices, having the conscious desires that build the bigger picture. And if something doesn't feel conscious, you know, enough, I will step back. I have to take enough right steps, you know, to honor that conscious desire. If I, you know, keep making the choices that lead me to impulsive desires, that's, you know, not a good pattern of actions. Each action builds habit. Each action builds some sort of karmic footprint. So, you know, the habit of always, you know, choosing the conscious desires, conscious choices, I think that's a very revolutionary, you know, start to the whole process.
Beautiful. And so if you were, you know, but kind of back into this understanding of like where if someone was experiencing their mental health challenging them and they're wanting to make these conscious choices and they're feeling almost like weighed down by this, like what do you feel like the pathway is to start connecting in with this, with the ability to make conscious choices? And the way I kind of comprehended from my mind was like the ability to make choices from love and not fear. So I'm curious. Yeah. How you come from that place of like, you know, when things feel really hard and there's depression and there's anxiety and it's like struggles of the mind, how do you come into those, making those conscious thoughts?
Yeah, I love that you said you choose love and not fear. That's a good start. I would also add, you know, maybe a meditation on this one simple question, who am I? That really helps. You know, when you meditate on who am I, it helps you understand the labels, the anxiety, the unconscious patterns that keep on showing up. It could be, you know, your work of just unleashing their sexual potential, or my work of channeling the sexual energy. Who am I is a question that fits into any healing process. Because, you know, I know the people who come to, you know, you and me, they are the people who are dealing with a great deal of internal narrative of, you know, being limited in their expression. They are living trauma of just the darkness that's running in their family, in their environment, in their lineage. So even simple question of who am I, and understanding that I play these roles, but I am beyond these roles. I have this body, but I also have an existence which is beyond the body, which is my consciousness. So meditating on who am I, I've seen it instantly calms down that increasing anxiety, that mental stress. And this year particularly, I have recommended Who Am I so many people, because I realized, you know, more than any year, 2020 is the year where we need to become aware, who am I? And you are much beyond this whole craziness going outside, you know, the fear, the panic, the anxiety, it's on peak this year.
Yeah, I really feel that. And there's something that I'm really seeing in it, almost the beauty of what can arise when we overcome that piece is around identity and the who am I that's beyond who we think we are, you know? And mm-hmm. I'm where I see that you and I meet. It's actually really beautiful hearing a little bit of your story about, you know, you came from that kind of the finance, the Wall Street, New York energy. And then, you know, waking up to your spiritual path inside of that and you know, moving with that and trusting that. It's almost like having to give up a lot of the ideas of what your identity was looking like it was supposed to be in this lifetime. And I know I really resonate with that as well. You know, I come from a really small town in the UK and, you know, nobody I know from my school time was really speaking, you know, talking about sex like this or thinking it was possible to actually, you know, follow the path that really lights your heart up in this way. And I see it a lot for my students. It's like, there's almost like a having to let to give up so much of their ideas of what their identity seems to be to come into the truth of who they are so that they can become a sexuality leader. You know, like that, those words like intimidate people so much to thought of becoming a sexuality leader or a spirituality leader, perhaps in your world. And yeah, I just wanted just to close off, if you have any more tips to share with people of how you can just like really shed those identities to come into the truth of who you really are.
You know, I'll share two things. I mean, I grew up in, you know, family of gurus, and then I went into Wall Street because many people ask me, why did you go to Wall Street? Because, you know, you were always loving spirituality. You were always into spiritual work, and yet you chose Wall Street, you know, for those years. And I did not have the right answer why I chose Wall Street, why I chose finance, you know, over spiritual gifts. And the answers that showed up were uncomfortable, but I really had to live with those answers and embrace them. And the answer was, I did not have enough gratitude, enough trust, and enough courage. And when I implemented these three elements, everything changed. And this is my suggestion and advice and request to everyone who's listening, come back to your gratitude. You know, meditate on what you are great at. Meditate on the gifts that you have. I mean, if I look at your journey, Victoria, you know, coming from small town of UK, and then, you know, being the sex goddess, the guru, the master in what you do, it's not something that anyone can process, right? I'm sure you get a lot of reactions when you really put your titles ahead. This is who I am. But it's the gratitude, right? Gratitude toward what you have, what you do so well. It may not come so easily to someone else, and what somebody else could do easily, it may not come to you or me. We all have a certain gift that we could offer. So understanding the gratitude, you know, understanding what is it that comes so easily to me, so naturally to me, so effortlessly, that's number one. Number two, trusting the process. Trusting that my speed may not be equal to your speed. My growth may have no comparison to your growth, and my process is unique in its own way. So trusting that, you know, great process, and finally having the courage to live your truth and speak your truth. I think these three elements really helped me. And my hope is it helps to those who are listening right now.
Beautiful. I love that. Wow, so powerful. I'm super grateful that you've come on. This has been really, you know, beautiful chat, just really fitting the parts where sexuality and mental health and spirituality and tantra all come together. It just feels really beautiful. So thank you. And thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Do you have anything that you, if people want to get in contact with you, or if there's anything you're offering right now, if you want to share?
You know, I'm working on online school, which is going to be a school on tantra, meditation, all things consciousness. And if you join my Instagram, which is at cbmeditates, that's also my website, cbmeditates.com. The information on the school is there. It's called Leela Gurukul. Leela means play of consciousness. So that's the name of school, Leela, L-E-E-L-A. And those who are interested in diving deeper into tantra, meditation, and all things I discussed, I think the right place to start would be my podcast, Break the Norms. But again, the information is on the cbmeditates.com. The podcast, the book, and the school, everything is on it.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Well, have a beautiful day. And thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.